I guarantee you there's horror stories.
Oh, 100%. Email us. Yeah, let's hear it, because like someone's pulling the flask out, and then it's a celebratory
shot. And then
shot.
It's the cart girl bringing over triple vodka sodas, right. And then you're sleeping in a lake.
It's not good.
Missing the ceremony, I can't even imagine.
There's been one bastard out there that has missed the whole thing.
Well, late, I can
talk to us.
Late's tough. Like, late is tough.
You can't even be 1 minute late.
No, it's your wedding. Yeah, everyone's there for you.
This guy had a tough time, put it that way.
I guess.
Still very happily married with a couple kids.
There you go. And but you got a good story to look back on.
It's because of her. It's not because
she
of
was
him.
Cool enough to put up with him. Yeah,
your bald buddy in Edmonton.
No, she knew she was marrying a jackass.
Right.
But he's a good husband.
Bruce Arthur from The Star. Back in his reporter days, he was down there. I'm sure he had his, probably the mic. Were you taking audio down there at day one of Maple Leaf Camp or what, Bruce?
I was. By the way, Jamie's saying she knew she was marrying a jackass, but he's a good husband. Were you guys talking about me before we went on the air? Is that what that was?
Basically all of us, Bruce.
Yeah, pretty much all of us.
I'm sure you're writing a piece about today's activities. Day one of camp, physical. Is Mitch Marner included in your newest article or what?
Our friend Dave Feschuk gets the Mitch Marner thing today because, I mean, we've all written about Mitch. We have all kind of weighed all the different parts of this negotiation. It comes down to that the same thing, which is whether you can get Mitch Marner to accept that he isn't Austin Matthews, and if they can, then good for them. I'm writing about the coach today because when we ended last season, after game 7, there was more kind of attention paid to Mike Babcock's inflexibility, to his philosophy of the terror of the mistake, to just basically how he's coaching this team, and there's more questions about him than ever before. I'm fascinated to see this year with a team that is more tilted towards how Kyle Dubas views hockey, how Mike Babcock coaches the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Bruce, do you think, like, listening to Babs today, when he first got here, it seemed like for 2 years he was, I'm Mike Babcock, I win, I make the playoffs every year, I coach Canada, and you people in Toronto are just been dealing with losers, and whatever I say, you just have to say, oh, okay. And, like, do you think that's still the case? Because for 2 years it was like, I'll just say whatever I want and don't question me because I'm Mike Babcock. Do you think he might have some tougher questions that might need to be answered this year?
Yeah, I think I think it is getting, well, part of it is two things. Part of it is this team's gotten better. It's clearly gotten better. Even the 2 7-game losses to Boston, a very different series. And Kyle Dubas will tell you that, and Babs tell you that, players tell you that. They could have won last year. Game 6, those 20 minutes in game 6 when they go down 2-1. Like, that's where they lose the entire season. Mm-hmm. And they could have won that series. But so when you're better and you're in this division with Boston and Tampa, and when the margins in the NHL are so slender anyway, right? Like, we saw that in the playoffs. Like, it's you're flipping a coin. You're flipping a hockey puck, if you prefer that. And it's heads or tails some of the time. So that's part of Babs, I think, being under a tighter microscope because they're close. And the small differences, whether Austin Matthews plays 18-48 in Game 7 or 19-48 in Game 7, whether Zach Hyman takes defensive zone penalty kill face-offs on a torn ACL against Patrice Bergeron or not, like, those little things you can start to point to and say, hey, Babs, why'd you do that? And so I think that's a part of it. And the other part is Babs doesn't change much. Like, when you asked him about last year and whether they made any mistakes in Game 7, he said, no, you know, I thought we were prepared. And when you asked him at the end of the season whether he did anything wrong, he said, you always wish you could do things better, but he never names anything. He is very much a believer in the church of Mike Babcock, and he should be. It's part of why he's great. But Kyle Dubas has a vision for how he thinks hockey should be played, and that's why he made the trade for Tyson Barry. That's who's a dragster defenseman, right? Like, who could have a 70-point season. That's on the table for this team. He wants this team to get the puck and move the puck and go, go, go. And Babs wants that too, but he looks at it very much in the way of don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake, don't make a mistake, defense, defense, defense. And there has been chafing between Dubas and Babcock, and there has been chafing between Babcock and Matthews. And the fact that Matthews and Babs came out of their meeting this summer saying everything's great is good. And the fact that Dubas is saying that, yeah, they don't always agree, but they've worked through some stuff this summer. That's good. Now we get to see how Mike puts it into practice. And at the end of the season, it's going to be close again, no matter who they play, no matter how it goes. There are going to be very tight margins, and Babs could make the difference between one or the other.
With Bruce Arthur from the Star, you mentioned Matthews in Game 7 and his ice time. That came up again today, and here's what Mike Babcock had to say.
I think Austin played about 18 and a half minutes last year. Is that about right? And I think in the playoffs, every bit but Game 7, I think he played in the 20s or something like that. In Game 7, did you check his shift length? Did he play the same amount of shifts? You know, some of these things I'm not in control of. I'm just in control of how many times he gets out there. But what I'd say to you is we had good discussion.
So that's a deflection to 34. Go talk to him. That's him saying, I put you on the ice. You kept coming off.
You kept coming off at 38 seconds.
Why were you coming off in the biggest game of the year? Why were you trying to get to the bench? That's exactly what
that was today. Like, if you go up and look it up, Matthews plays the same number of shifts as John Tavares. John Tavares plays 2.5 minutes more. So, yeah, he's basically saying that was Austin's call. And he's right that Matthews played, I think, 20 minutes in 5 of those games. But there's always been a little bit of a disconnect between Mike and Austin, I think, where it comes to who Austin plays with. He wanted to play with Mitch at one point. I'm not sure he loved playing with Zach Hyman at times. There's always been that disconnect, but there's also been some questions of ice time. He finished, I think, 71st in ice time 2 seasons ago among forwards, 64th last season. So he doesn't play a lot in the context of high-end forwards in the NHL. And then in the playoffs, he wasn't, you can't say he was completely underplayed, but yeah, so that's him throwing it back on Matthews. Actually, the interesting thing about that was when Kyle Dubas talked about that, he said him and Mike talked about all the different player deployment philosophies and all that stuff. And he also said, and this was interesting, he said, you know, part of it is you can't go and burn your players out because we're trying to play Boston in terms of depth. And, you know, as our conditioning gets better, then, you know, we'll be able to do that more, which is basically Dubas saying our guys don't have the staying power that guys like Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand have. And so there was a lot of interesting stuff today. I think they've gone over a lot over the summer. And now they start the build back up to get to the point where maybe they get to play Game 7 against Boston again.
With Bruce Arthur, Sports Illustrated unveiled their top 100 NBA players today, and this is an annual practice, and it always leads to debate, and a lot of times courtesy of the players who don't like where they're actually ranked. I found it interesting that Pascal Siakam is number 24 on that list, and DeMar DeRozan is number 31. Do you buy into that ranking?
I think DeRozan probably deserves to be a little lower because take a look. What teams attack him defensively in terms of, he's a good offensive player who's not a great offensive player. And I think by the end of the season with Pascal Siakam, he could be higher than he is. And he's kind of on the edge of where the stars are. Like, the next guy up is Ben Simmons, who people in the Sixers organization think has future MVP potential. But the more you break down Pascal Siakam's year last year, with or without Kawhi Leonard, like whether he's on the floor or not, if you look at him in isolation, and they mentioned this a little bit, he's a really efficient isolation player. He produces tons of points per possession in isolation, he's up there with star players. And same in the post, and same in pick and rolls. And Pascal Siakam, if you look at his numbers without Kawhi last year, they were outstanding. This guy is going to be a centerpiece player. Now, is he going to be a centerpiece player to the level of Kawhi? Not this season, and maybe not ever. Is he going to be a top 5 or 10 player, which is what you need to really move the needle in the NBA? Not sure he can get there, but I think he'll eventually knock on the door. But that, to me, is the interesting part of this list for the Raptors is, like, Kyle Lowry's ranked, what is he?
28.
Kyle could be on the trade block this year, like, because he's an expiring contract. They have $90 million coming off. He's not a young man. What can you get for Kyle Lowry would be a question. The fact that he's on this list, that Marc Gasol's on this list, that Serge Ibaka's on this list, those are the three guys you could move. Siakam's the future. And Siakam, I don't know if he's going to be better than Ben Simmons. And next up is a guy like Bradley Beal, who is a star. Chris Paul, who's a declining star. I think by the end of the season, Pascal Siakam will be a top 20 player in the NBA. And that's where the Raptors really start to build for the next one.
Great stuff, Bruce. Always appreciate it, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
Boys, it's always my pleasure.
There's Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star.